You did this with your mouth. Like, you talked yourself into this.
Well, if you're interesting at all, you should do a podcast.
I was doing a radio show for years before I podcasted it.
I don't think people realize just how liberating and freeing and inspiring podcasting can be.
Yeah, even just walking into any genre of podcasting, you walk into community.
The reason podcasts connect so much is it feels more personal.
What we learned pretty quickly is that only 1 or 2% of the people who listen ever donate. Most people don't. People are used to free media, advertising supported media.
At the moment, podcasting for us isn't a business, and it's not designed to be.
Running something as a business or being paid doesn't always mean dollars, pounds, euros. It can be payment in another way.
One voice, one mic. A short documentary about the rise of podcasting, coming 2019.
Plug in, record, send it to iTunes, boom, congratulations, you're a podcast.
Hi friends, welcome to another episode of The Media Matters. I'm your host Chantel, and tonight I have my little ginger snap with me, the one and only Miss Marie Rose.
Hello everybody.
Hi my friend. Tonight, we're laying down to sleep and praying the Lord our souls to keep. What in the nightcap are we talking about? Why, lucid dreams, of course. But before we tuck ourselves in and say our prayers, I want to shout out all of our friends to the show on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, and Snapchat, and thank everyone who is showing us all kinds of love by rating and reviewing the show and just connecting. We are floating in a sea of hearts right now. I swear to Lucifer. It has been so much fun hanging out with you guys, talking to you guys, reading your stories, just getting to know you and knowing that you are enjoying the show so, so much. So thank you tremendously for tuning in. If you are checking out The Media Matters and the show is not your jam, have no fear. There are tons of shows out there that will tickle your fancy. Please be sure to check out other podcasts. And if you like another one, make sure that you leave them a kick-ass review and rate them as well so that other people can find them. And maybe it'll be more their jam. Not that we don't want you. But it's not for everyone.
What? Everybody loves us.
No, that's not true. Not a thing, Marie Rose.
What?
The call is now and forever out for your ghost stories. So make sure that you send them to us because we want them more than anything. You can submit your story or stories via email to themediamatters@gmail.com or on Twitter @MediaMatters or on Instagram and Facebook @TheMediaMatters. And I will personally respond to everyone that submits a story or stories to make arrangements for you guys to be on the show and share your story with us and our friends, because why the night not? You should be on the show with us.
Yes.
Because fun.
Definitely.
But no pressure, honestly, you guys. If you don't want to be on the show and you just want to submit your story for us to read, we are happy to do that as well. As a reminder, the call for your Patreon suggestions is still out. And if you guys don't remember what Patreon is, it is a very cool site where artists, content creators can connect with their subscribers and create exclusive content for you guys if you want to be part of it. And it is a subscription service where you get this exclusive content. So make sure you let us know what you guys would like to see on our Patreon page at themediamatters@gmail.com or by DMing the show. And again, I will respond to you personally. Now then, you guys are raving about our tarot talk and can't resist crystal segments, and we are happy to keep delivering. It sounds like you want more, and we're giving you more. We're gearing up to make August our tarot month. It's the month our resident Marie Rose will be doing one, exactly one reading per day for 31 August days. Here is the skinny. You may submit one and only one question to Marie at hellomarierose@gmail.com. Your question cannot relate to health or legal issues because it's just not in the cards.
Ba-dum-bum.
Right. See what I did there? See what I did there?
I see that.
Marie will personally, not what I wanted to say. Marie will randomly select one person per day and will contact said friend to notify them that they have been selected, and she will work out the details of the tarot reading with you. Marie, can you tell us briefly what our friends should and should not expect from these readings?
Well, we said we were going to, you know, in a show a while back, we said we were going, you know, I kind of spewed at the mouth, you know, during the podcast saying, you know what, to strengthen the tarot muscle and to make myself commit to this, I'm going to do a month of readings. So August was selected. Mm-hmm. And so submit your email, your question to hellomarierose@gmail.com. And I'm going to select 31 people to do readings for. And I will, you know, do a reading on your question, send you a picture of your layout and a explanation. And what I just ask for is feedback. You know, what resonated with you, what did not. And even if, you know, sometimes, you know, 2 weeks later, it's like, oh my gosh, I understand now. Email me, let me know.
Agreed. Because that does happen a lot, even with the types of readings that I do. It just happens. So in the previous episode, we did say that we want our friends to simply email a question. Don't email any background, nothing in addition to the question, just your name. Do you want first name and last name?
Yeah.
All right. So first name, last name, and just your question, and Marie will get down to business. What kind of spread are you thinking, Marie? Like, are you going to, will it be a different spread for everyone?
Well, I'm going to meditate mm-hmm. on it. I plan on doing the Celtic spread for most everybody, but I'm going to meditate on it to see what works for that particular person.
Mm-hmm.
So remains to be seen. I guess the answer is it depends.
Cool. So it is
but Celtic by default,
because
mm-hmm. that's the big one that takes the most time, tells the most of a story, I think.
What is that spread like? What does it look like?
It's like two cards in the middle and then two cards around and then, I mean, a circle of cards around and then four cards down the side, and they all represent something.
Mm-hmm. And the readings, it's really cool, you guys, because the cards all tell a story.
Yes. And so, then you combine everything together.
Right. It definitely tells a story. So when you look at them individually, yes, they each have a message, but then you piece it all together and watch out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So very cool. I'm super excited for August. I'm really excited to hear the feedback. I am excited that we're even doing this because this is very, very fun.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm. I'm so proud of you.
It's going to be a lot,
mm-hmm.
but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So I was asking Marie if she can handle this energetically, because it does take a lot of energy to do this stuff. It's not like, oh, I just had a long day, or it's not that kind of energy. It really just does take from your energy field to do this, to accomplish this, to tune into someone else's energy and bring forth the message that is supposed to go to them. And this is true doing tarot readings. This is true doing readings on people in other realms. Doing Reiki, like all of it. So
yeah, it takes a lot out of you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's energy work. Mm-hmm. So
I'm glad you can handle it. I'm very excited to see what's coming. And now that we got all of that goodness out of the way, take it away with our weekly tarot talk.
Okay. So for this episode, the key that was drawn was the sun. So on the sun key, which is key number 19, a naked child is riding horseback on a white horse, holding a red banner. And so the red banner signifies action and vibration, and the sun is shining ever so brightly behind this little happy baby, and it's just a happy card. And behind the baby and the horse is a walled garden, and there are four sunflowers, and they're in full development, and the four flowers represent the four elements: air, earth, fire, and water. And it's normally, this card means all the happy things, but guess what? For today,
dun, dun, dun,
it was actually drawn reversed.
Because why not?
Right. And so reversed, it's not positive. The sun reverse is not a positive thing. Clouded future plans, trouble in relationships, loss in income or home. It's just, sad. I couldn't get anything positive out of this. I mean, this is such a happy card. And when you draw it reversed like that, it just means trouble. So I don't know how that is going to translate into this podcast tonight, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm. So take that in the way that it resonates with you. Be careful. Be on the lookout. Be careful with your choices, etc. A lot of the things that we've talked about in the past. And do some research on the card, you guys, and see what resonates with you. Because, you know, everything can be interpreted.
That's true. That's everything. True. You know, maybe it's a relationship that you need to get out of.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And you've been thinking about getting out of. You never know.
You never know.
Mm-hmm. Keeping in line with tonight's episode, we have this week's Can't Resist Crystal, which is the Amethyst.
Which I actually have in my hand right now.
I love Amethyst. It's one of my favorites. And I may say that every week when we do this, but I don't care. From howtolucid.com and energymust.com, Amethyst is said to be a potent lucid dreaming crystal with abilities such as helping you reach a state of serenity and bliss very quickly. It can be effectively used for meditation as well as just relaxing and getting into a lucid state of mind. The Amethyst crystal is a natural stress reliever that encourages inner strength and peace. Peace. Oh, Lord. Amethyst crystals are said to bring wealth and invoke a strong business sense to its owner, making them wonderful healing crystals to have in your office or business. They're healing stones of spiritual growth and protection. The Amethyst crystal meaning includes bringing clarity of the mind and helping you to become more in tune with your feelings so that you get to know yourself on a much deeper level. Know thyself, as the ancient Greek saying goes. Amethyst crystals help bring inner spiritual harmony on many different levels. It stimulates the crown chakra and is an aid in meditation, helping you to calm your thoughts. This, like I said, is one of my favorite crystals. I have a large amethyst piece that I got with you, I think. We went to like Home Goods or something.
Oh, I remember that. And I got that large. That was fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I keep it in the living room, and it is definitely one of my favorites. Really good for keeping the energy nice and chill.
Yeah, I've got one in my living room. Mm-hmm. I've got one in my bedroom.
They're incredible.
I carry them with me. And yeah, that's probably my the stone that I own the most of, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I think I touched on this last episode. I'm pretty positive I did, but I know I've talked about it in other episodes. This is the stone that I used when I created a grid under my mattress when I was having trouble sleeping at night because I was being heavily affected by energies, by other beings that just were dying to communicate with me or just wanted to harass me. I don't know. So I did create a crystal grid under my mattress, and I did the entire grid with amethyst crystals, and it was fantastic. It did help me to sleep. I did this in conjunction with other things. So the amethyst crystal, make sure you check it out. The sites where we went to, energymuse.com, howtolucid.com. And yeah, a lot of great sites though. So make sure you guys check it out. Good stuff, that purple stone.
Oh, I love it.
Mm-hmm. Now then, It is time to click your heels three times and get your sleep on because we're about to dream. Lucid dream. Dun, dun, dun. What in the devil is a lucid dream? Pretty much a lucid dream. It's a dream when the dreamer is aware that they're dreaming.
And that's it, simply.
Yeah, that is the ABC of it, like the simple elementary. During a lucid dream, the dreamer may gain some amount of control over the dream character's narrative and environment. However, it's not actually necessary for a dream to be described as lucid. Dream lucidity is the awareness that you're dreaming, and this awareness can range from a faint recognition of the fact to a momentous broadening of perspective. Lucid dreams usually occur while a person is in the middle of a normal dream and suddenly realizes that they're dreaming. This is called a dream-initiated lucid dream. While a wake-initiated lucid dream occurs when you go from a normal waking state directly into a dream state with no apparent lapse in consciousness. In either case, the dreams tend to be more bizarre and emotional than regular dreams. Most importantly, you will have at least some ability to control your dream self and the surrounding dreams, which is very, very cool.
Mm-hmm. Have you had lucid dreams?
I have been giving this a lot of thought, and I cannot recall having a lucid dream. I've had dreams that seemed so incredibly real. Like I was somewhere else, like actually living those moments. But I don't know that they would actually be categorized as lucid because I don't remember in my dream saying like, oh, this is a dream or controlling the narrative or anything.
I can't recall ever having a lucid dream. And I think having a lucid dream, you do recall it because you are aware of it. Mm-hmm. You're in your dream and you know you're in your dream.
Right.
And I can't ever recall experiencing that. However, it's not like I've ever tried either.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't made the effort to.
Yeah. Actually, I did think about this when I was doing the research, and that is, I've had over like all my life, I've had from time to time these dreams that are scary to me. And it's typically there's something unseen in my space and I can see things moving as a result of this thing that is moving things around or moving my hair or touching my hair or whatever it is. And I think I've talked about this before. And in my dreams, I'm always so terrified. Now, since I started Reiki, as I've become more comfortable with my intuitive abilities and just more comfortable with this world, the things that we do and that we practice and whatnot, I have found that when I have these dreams, I am far stronger and I can throw some Reiki symbols out and give them a hi-ya and send somebody packing. And I know that I have had dreams where this has been the case and I have thrown out a Reiki symbol or, you know, a few, and I say my piece and the energy disappears, whatever. And in my mind or out loud in the dream, I will say something along the lines of, man, look at that. It works now. I'm not afraid anymore. So
because you are a badass like that.
I mean, Avi. So in my dream, I'm aware of like how powerful I have become and how powerful I feel, and that I'm like, no, you're not just coming in here to do whatever the hell you want to do. So.
But are you aware that you're dreaming?
That's the part right there where I can't say definitively yes, because I don't remember very well. And I want to say if I was aware that I was dreaming, I would have just like changed the setting and not been like running from
right.
some crazy crap. Maybe I would have been like, oh, I'm on the beach with Drake. I don't know.
Control this dream.
Right? Like, come on, Drake. So I don't know. So it's little things like that where I'm not quite sure where it actually falls, like if it falls in the lucid dreaming category.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's, you know, you've got to know that it's a dream mm-hmm. while you're dreaming. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the criteria.
Right.
So I can't say I've done it. And the thing is, I don't dream that often. So.
Well, that's not true. You actually dream every night, but you don't remember.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Because it's a way of your brain processing just everything, the day to day and your emotions, everything.
Yeah. That's it. So I remember nothing when I wake up. I wake up and I usually, a couple of cuss words go through my head because it's too early and it's like,
damn you, alarm clock.
It's like, oh God.
I thought we talked about this.
What time is it? That's mm-hmm. the first thing that goes through my head. Dreams don't happen. I don't remember my dreams very often.
Yeah, I don't all the time. And I, more often than not, I wake up and it's like, it's clear and it fades so quickly. And sometimes I'm like, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I will go over the details quickly, very, very quickly in my head over and over and over and over. Cause I'm like, I don't want to forget.
And then as the day goes inevitably, on, yeah, you lose it.
Unless I quick write it down, which I don't have time for that.
No, because I got to get my butt out of bed and go to work.
Right. So there is this bleeding feeling in my brain, like in the back of my mind, where I feel like I have a memory of knowing that I was in a dream mm-hmm. a few times. Like I've said it to myself in the dream and I just can't. I cannot pinpoint it, but I feel like it's floating back there somewhere.
Yeah. Now the dreams that I do have, that I do remember, those are like, okay, that's, you know, coming true. They end up happening in real life.
So kind of like premonitions.
Right. Exactly.
That's kind of cool. Look, you have a superpower.
And it prevents me from doing something stupid.
Mm.
They're warning dreams.
Yeah, my mom has that. I mean, they're not always warnings. It's
warnings, you know, that prevents me from putting my foot in my mouth,
mm-hmm.
you know, saying something stupid.
Or like a warning, don't crimp your hair. Don't do it. It's from 1983. Stop. Like that kind of warning.
No.
If only, right? Don't wear that fluorescent outfit.
It's coming back.
I know. I can't believe it. I'm like, what the? Oh, goodness. Okay. Let's go into some of the history of lucid dreaming.
Okay.
Because it did not get recognized until the 70s, like late 70s, 78. And it really, in all honesty, goes way, way, way back. So it goes, I want to say like the 8th century, the Tibetan Buddhists. And they're the ones that first formally had the ability or came up with the ability or discovered the ability to lucid dream. They learned how to control their dreams with dream yoga, which is using a technique that's now described as wake-induced lucid dreams, in which you maintain full consciousness while slipping directly into the dream state, which is kind of cool. In the Western world, the term lucid dreaming was first identified by Marquise de Harvey de Saint Denis in 1867 in his book Dreams and the Ways to Direct Them, Practical Observations. However, the honor typically goes to Dutch author and psychiatrist Frederik van Eeden because he used the term in an article that he wrote called A Study of Dreams in 1913, where he had identified, I think it was 7 different types of sleep states, I think is what it was. And he wrote about the most interesting ones. And a lot of those stories were about lucid dreams. And I believe it was 352 stories were about lucid dreams that he had. So based on his findings, he concluded that the sleeper is completely aware of their surroundings and are able to direct their actions freely while the sleep is said to be stimulating and uninterrupted, which is very cool. Very, very cool. So the first known textual description of lucid dreaming dates to before 1000 BC. It has Hindu influences and Indian influences with Indians in early, good Lord, I can't even talk. In early centuries, Indian influence spread to the mountainous regions of Tibet, where the tradition of Bonpo maintains that lucid dreaming has been used in their meditations for over 12,000 years.
Wow.
Which is really cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, it goes way back. It's all over history with the Buddhists and the Indians. And I mean, all the way back to Greek philosophers, Greek philosophers, my God, Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle, all addressing their inquiries into the nature of reality to our nightly journeys. Lucid dreams were first clearly described by Aristotle in 350 BC in his treatise on dreams. Aristotle writes, "When one is asleep, there is something in consciousness which tells us that what presents itself is but a dream." And then a few centuries later, in 415 AD, the first lucid dream report was recorded from one of St. Augustine's patients. So despite all of this, lucid dreams did have a very dark part of our history where people were, what's the wording I want to use? It was very much where are my words? It ended up going underground because people that talked about lucid dreaming were said to be associated with witchcraft and Satanism, which, unfortunately,
it was a scary thing.
Right. Like because when they don't understand.
Right. When they don't understand.
So it did go underground for a very, very long time and then started to make its way back, which I'm really happy about because now we know about it.
Well, it's definitely an interesting topic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now that, you know, after researching this, you know, I'm curious, you know, next time I'm, you know, I dream that I'm conscious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay. Am I dreaming?
Right.
And, you know, that's kind of a cool concept and that you can control it.
Well, how do you know you're not dreaming right now? I feel like this is a fantasy.
Because... when I put my hand on this table, my hand is on the table. My hand is not going through the table.
How do you know that it would go through the table if you were dreaming?
Because I said. Because I said so.
And I just choked.
Because I said so.
Okay.
It's a lucid dream. I say, okay, it will go. No, see, look, didn't work.
Nothing is solid.
See, it didn't work.
Do you guys hear her hitting that table? So by her account, she's not dreaming because her hand is not going through the table.
If I could
control Marie's dreams, furniture is not solid.
Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a test. Interesting. It's a test.
What are some of the benefits of lucid dreaming? For starters, you get to decide what you dream about. What am I dreaming about tonight? I think that beach venture with Drake.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, you know, you getting to decide could mean that you're exploring new planets, a new country, you're trying new types of food, you are, I mean, hell, having sex with some people that you really want to have sex with.
Uh-oh.
And then it's not considered bad. You didn't do anything. It's just in a dream. Or is it? So what else do you get out of lucid dreaming? You get to discover your creativity. You get to do other stuff that you don't normally do. You can, here's one of my favorites, reunite, with loved ones that you've lost. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you can call them forth and say, come meet me by the tree on the bench.
Yeah, have a little discussion.
Mm-hmm. Hey, maybe, you know, it's a situation where you didn't get to say goodbye to someone.
It brings closure.
Yeah, you can get closure. So another benefit, you could remove fears from your mind.
Because you can control it.
Right. You can control it. You can talk to your subconscious, your higher self. You can
say, hey, higher self.
Right. You can practice and improve real skills like chefery. In your dream,
what?
You are...
What? Chefery?
Chefery.
Is that like You mean like chef, like in cooking?
It's not an actual word, Marie Rose. In your dream, you could become the Barefoot Contessa.
So you are talking about cooking. Yes. About being in the kitchen.
Yes, and you could become a better chef.
A chefery.
Chefery.
You just made that up.
Yeah, okay. I did make that
up. All right. This is your dream. I fully support you.
You could have better, more restful sleep, which who doesn't want that?
Oh, definitely.
Because you know what? Nothing irks me more as it relates to sleep than when I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, it's been like 10 minutes. I haven't been asleep. And it is like the alarm is about to go off. That ignites me in no other way. Like as it relates to sleep, it just pisses me off. I'm like, are you kidding me right now?
So
you know the feeling? Like you just closed your eyes?
Yeah, I do. And what kind of pissed me off actually this morning was, you know, I went to bed last night and I ate too much, you know, salty food, and so I was bloated and this and that, and I'm like, and I didn't.
What did you eat?
Oh, like Mexican. The cheese dip and the tortillas and all that other stuff. Bring it. I'm all salt and bloated and I didn't work out, and so I'm about to go to bed and I'm just feeling blah. And I said, you know what? If, you know, I'm setting my alarm for 5 o'clock, and if I get up at 4, then I'll work out. I was so mad. I woke up at almost exactly 4 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm not working out. No, I am not getting out of this bed. And I laid there wide awake and pissed off.
Oh my God.
No, I got my ass up and I got up, worked out. It's like, okay, I said it. I put the hex on myself last night.
You sure did, girl.
Yeah, mm-mm. So I did. I got up, worked out, and so
I'd be like, I'm gonna set my alarm for 5, and if I wake up at 4, I'm gonna eat a donut and go back to sleep. Just kidding, I would never do that. I really would never do that. I would just stay my ass on the bed.
I tried, but no, I was wide awake at this point. And it's like, this, okay, I did this to myself. I'm getting up. I was clearly meant
to choose your words wisely.
I was clearly meant to work off that cheese dip from last night.
What workout did you do? Did you go for a walk?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I find walking just to be the best for me. I love it. I mean, I lift weights 6 days a week, and it is an ass kicker, but it's very good for me. It's very good for a lot of people, but walking has really been incredibly beneficial for me.
Yeah. I felt the need to get outside.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, with it being so hot, early morning is probably the smartest time to go out if you're going to work out outside.
This morning was like particularly steamy. Like I woke up and every window was fogged up. I'm like, what the?
It was, but it was good for a good walk.
Yeah, a good sweat.
Yeah.
A good sweating sesh.
Yeah, it's about 2.5 miles and it was good.
Are you walking in the dark?
No. I got up and I got myself out there probably right before sunrise.
Okay.
By the time I got up, brushed my teeth, and woke myself up and got my tennis shoes on and dragged myself outside. Mm-mm. It was right twilight.
All right. Be careful out there.
It's good. It's all good.
Okay. Risks associated with lucid dreaming, Marie Rose.
Risks?
Risks, because everything has a risk. Sleep paralysis. The most common negative experience lucid dreamers have is sleep paralysis, and that is the inability to move when you're asleep. Sleep paralysis happens to everyone each time they enter REM, which is rapid eye movement sleep. Since we have vivid dreams during REM sleep, our body enters a state of paralysis to prevent us from acting out those dreams. Lucid dreaming happens in a state between consciousness and unconsciousness, and it's very easy to slip fully into either state. So when you enter REM sleep and have a lucid dream, it's possible to become conscious during this state when your body is still paralyzed. This is where hallucinations and ominous feelings can accompany this stage of sleep. So paired with the paralysis, it can be terrifying as hell to experience. Now, it may sound scary, but being aware of the possibility and knowing that it is totally natural and can happen can help you overcome the fear if it happens to you. Now, we've talked about this before. Sleep paralysis, it is creepy. It is creepy. It's happened to me in the past. It, for a period of time, it seemed like it happened all the time, and it was very, very freaky. And you do, you're in a weird state where you feel fully awake. And I don't know. I feel like most accounts, people know that they were fully awake. They could tell you what's in the room, what they heard, what they saw. That was the same for me. And then, like, you just cannot move. And it feels like
your brain's awake, but your body isn't.
Yes. And it feels like something is on you. For me, most people say it feels like something is on them. For me, I never had that feeling that something was on me, but I very much felt like someone was in my space, and it freaked me the F out. Did not like it. So be careful. Be careful. We say this all the time. With caution.
Oh, right. With caution.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also seen researched that it is not for people with mental health problems. For example, schizophrenia, and, you know, for people who can't, you know, who have a hard time distinguishing between some of their thoughts and fears and their real life events, it's just not a good idea to pursue this if you've got any kind of mental issues.
Again, be very careful. There is a fear also that you could get trapped in your dream. And some people feel that they will get trapped if they're lucid dreaming without being able to wake up and come back to reality. This is not a thing.
No, because you're going to wake up.
Exactly. You will wake up. And if you don't, it's because the baby Jesus called you home, not because you were lucid dreaming. You got stuck in another world. It's not a thing. There's another fear or risk of lucid nightmares. And just like any dream, lucid dreams can become nightmares. They are very, very vivid. And if you are being chased by, say, Michael Myers in your vivid lucid dream, that's going to scare the hell out of you. That is a nightmare.
But you know you're dreaming, so turn around and give him the finger.
Turn around and say, "You're now Drake." And they change. Or, "You are now $1 million.
There you go.
And it is a stack of money. And then, ta-da! No longer a nightmare, guys.
That's right. Because you're in a dream. You know you're in a dream. We just control it.
We just solved it.
Yeah.
Another risk or fear is being unable to distinguish the dream world from reality. And this fear gets a lot of press and may likely be the biggest reason people fear lucid dreaming. Just like any activity that lets someone escape from reality, it can become addicting for those who have a hard time dealing with reality. And unlike other addictions, lucid dreaming is really easy to stop. Or is it?
So people actually get addicted to this?
Yeah, you go into these other, you know, quote unquote, other states or another state, and you're in this vivid place where you're controlling the narrative and the characters and the everything. And, you know, some people just can't get enough. And they're like, "This is the world I want to live in, where everyone does what I say.
I am king."
Mm-hmm. Or queen, or whatever you want to be. So, you know, like you said, if you have mental illness or suffer from other addictions, you may want to consult a medical professional before you try doing things like this, just to make sure that you are safe to do that. Another risk or concern, meeting with spirits, not your loved ones' spirits, your loved ones that have crossed over. We're talking other, maybe lower energies.
Yeah, but you're dreaming, right?
You are dreaming. And so one of the most widely known dangers, if you will, of lucid dreaming of astral projection and lucid dreaming is meeting spiritual entities. So it all comes down to your beliefs, what you're trying to get out of this lucid dream or your lucid dreams. So astral projection, just like lucid dreaming, is very vivid and focused. And starts with you being very focused and having a goal, something you want to achieve in this dream or in this projection, if you will, whatever the case. So you need to be very careful. You don't want to do these things without knowing what you're getting into. Be very basic. Maybe say like, I want to be in a flower patch, or I don't know, but you want to be careful. Don't go looking for things that you know nothing about. Don't experiment or tamper with or whatever the case. You need to be careful. So don't invite other energies that you don't recognize, or how else do I say this, Marie Rose? Please be careful. Please. Por favor.
Keep yourself safe, like in everything.
Yes. Arms inside the ride. Let's talk about how to actually do lucid dreaming.
Okay.
So there are many methods. Many methods. So usually when you go to sleep, your brain slowly shuts off and you're no longer aware of what's going on around you. When you start dreaming, you're also not really aware of what's going on, and you just feel like you're watching yourself do some actions, some, you know, karate or crafting or whatever. However, with some training and practice, it's possible to train the part of your mind that's responsible for being aware of yourself while you're dreaming. This means that you can explore any part that you want in your dream world, which includes controlling it and doing anything you can imagine. There is no limit, except have some limits, have some healthy boundaries. Don't, tangle with the energies, if you will, like we said. I'm just going to throw it out there again.
All right.
Just going to throw it out there. So here's one technique. To start, know when your REM sleep occurs. This is the stage of sleep characterized by rapid eye movement, like we talked about a little while ago. Usually the first REM sleep cycle happens within 70 to 120 minutes of a person falling asleep and lasts like five-ish minutes with some individuals. It's very short. But as you get closer to the morning, assuming you're sleeping at night, you tend to spend more time in REM sleep. So what you want to do, get more REM sleep. Easier said than done, yes, but it is vital. REM sleep is one of the most restorative stages of sleep, where it helps out with your memory, helps out with your cognition, very vital. So get more REM sleep. Keep a dream diary or log. We talked about this a little while ago, where Marie and I, you know, we don't always remember our dreams. That's true for a lot of people. But when you do, write it down. Keep a journal or something right next to your bed. If you can quietly do it without waking someone up that might be sleeping next to you, you could also record it on your phone, like do a voice memo, something along those lines. Make sure you do frequent reality checks. Essentially, this entails asking yourself, am I dreaming? To be more cognizant of whether you are. Some people actually draw little symbols like on the back of their hand, something really small that they'll keep on, that they'll keep looking at to make sure that they're in reality or that they are dreaming. So that is one technique. Another technique, you know, same thing, keep a dream journal, keep using symbols or something to check on reality frequently. Make sure you tell yourself that you are dreaming each time, or that you'll be aware that you're dreaming each time you fall asleep. Learn to recognize your personal dream signs. Drift back to sleep when awakened from a dream. Consider purchasing a light alarm, which everybody's phone now has alarms, so you don't have to do that. Another way to lucid dream, meditate. Meditation is everywhere. We talk about meditation all the time, but meditating is really good. And sometimes, I mean, we do self-Reiki, which I haven't done in a while, but I would do self-Reiki and fall asleep, which is, it would put me in like a meditative state where I was super chill and just like,
and you zonk
floating
out.
Floating. Yeah. And then I'm like, what the? It's 5 o'clock. So before going to sleep, meditate in a quiet, dark room. Take a meditation course if you don't know how to meditate, or read some good books, watch some great videos, whatever the case, so you get better results. But to start out, just pay attention to your breathing or imagine ascending or descending stairs. The goal is to stop thinking and enter a quiet, comfortable state, and from there slip into a lucid dream. Prolonging a lucid dream as it starts to fade. Another good way to stay in the dream and to remind yourself also that you are dreaming. And listening to binaural beats. And I've done this when I've meditated, and it just helps to get me in that state. So another good way to get there. You could also play video games. You can consider taking some supplements. There are supplements out there that are supposed to be really good for helping with achieving lucid dreaming. And again, please be very careful and consult a medical professional before you start doing stuff like that, because just be on the safe side. Be on the safe side. Do you have anything to add to that?
You covered a lot of it. I like what this doctor in Australia, Dr. Denholm Aspey from the University of Adelaide, mm-hmm. he basically broke it out into three techniques: the reality testing, reality check, and waking back to bed. The reality testing is, you know, what we talked about earlier, where, you know, am I dreaming right now? Mm-hmm. And do a test, you know. You know, even during the day when you're awake, you know, put your hand on the table against the wall, mm-hmm. and it's not going through. And then when you're in the dream, you okay, you know, am I dreaming? Here's a test. Mm-hmm. And your hand actually does go through the wall and you know, okay, I am dreaming. Mm-hmm. Boom, lucid dream. Mm-hmm. The reality check, which you talked about earlier, and the waking back to bed, which goes back to the REM sleep. Now, this one I thought was kind of strange, the whole walking back to bed, because it requires, you know, like you said, setting an alarm to wake yourself up after 5 or 6 hours and then going back to sleep. But, you know, once you're awake, you know, you should, you know, remain awake for a while, then go back to bed. And this is supposed to immerse the sleeper immediately into REM. I don't know how that works, but if a doctor said it, then I guess whatever.
It's on the internet.
All right. But my favorite is a lucid dream researcher, Beverly D'Urso. And she did an interview with Psychology Today that had me rolling. This researcher, just I just need to sit and like have a beer with her. She sounds like so much fun. So she was asked, have you ever experimented with sex in your lucid dreams? And she's like, yeah,
because why not,
right? So they were attempting to record sexual activity during lucid dreaming at the Stanford Sleep Lab. So they hooked her up to electrodes and vaginal probes.
Because why not?
Right. And so her goal was to have sex in a dream and experience an orgasm. Because why not, right?
Right.
So she dreamed that she flew across the Stanford campus and she saw a group of tourists. She swooped down.
She got it with a group?
And she knows she swooped down and tapped like the hot guy and on his shoulder, and he was like, yeah. So right then and there, they did the deed, and the orgasm actually recorded. And so it was the experiment was the first recorded female orgasm in a dream.
Get it, doctor. Get it.
Yeah, that cracked me up.
Nice.
But she had, yeah, a lot of, you know, examples of, well, she was a lucid dream researcher, mm-hmm. but that one cracked me up. It's like this lady kills me.
Mm-hmm. She had sex with a hot guy in a group of tourists.
Come on, babe. Okay.
Nice. All right. You have anything else to share?
She had
it sturdy.
No, this one was actually kind of practical. She was the early 80s and she was working on her PhD dissertation and she had done all the classwork. But she was having trouble writing the dissertation. So her friend says, well, why don't you work on your writer's block in your lucid dreams?
Mm-hmm. Which we read about, what, we talked about too.
What a practical thing.
Right.
So she gave it a shot and she dreamt that she was in her bedroom, but the computer was in the wrong place. Instead of being on the left, it was on the right. So she knew it was a dream. Mm-hmm. So boom, lucid dream. So the first thing that happens was that she became paralyzed. She knew she was dreaming and she couldn't move her body. All she wanted to do was to get to her computer to start writing. And she kept telling herself, this is a dream. This is a dream. I should be able to do this. And then in slow motion, she was able to get to her computer. But then the chair at the desk had a hole leading down to hell. She was scared to death.
That's a special chair.
Right. But she sat down and she fell into this pit of hell. And then she woke up from her dream. It fixed the writer's block. She was good to go.
Her slipping off into hell?
Well, I think just controlling it and tackling the writer's block and controlling the dream. And she willingly sat there, even though it was going to be a hard thing for her to do. Mm-hmm. And she did it. And she scared herself into waking up. And it cured her writer's block.
Yeah, interesting.
So I thought that was, you know, there's a lot of representation mm-hmm. there. You know, sitting there doing, you know you have to do it. You know it's going to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But you did it anyway, and you survived it.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So
interesting.
Yeah, cool stuff.
Very cool. Well, we have some lucid dream stories for you guys. Some other people's stories. So you get a feel, in case you've never done lucid dreaming yourself, don't know anyone that has, you can get a feel for what it is. So this person says, I found myself talking to a dream friend who wasn't real but was convincing in my dream state while standing on the football field at my high school. While we conversed, I came to an eye-opening realization. I'm on a trip with my family right now, so how could I be at school? Suddenly, everything stopped and became more vivid. The grass felt real, the sun on my skin warmed me, and I became very aware that I didn't know the person I had been speaking to. Am I dreaming? I wondered aloud. If I'm dreaming, then I can fly. I felt my feet leave the ground and I hovered gently above the dream field. I can fly. I can go anywhere, I thought as the exhilaration of flight pushed me higher and higher. Soon I was in the clouds, planning to see the world from the comfort of my bed. That's really cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And how cool to understand where he or she physically was and then to know that they were dreaming. That's really cool.
That is cool.
Mm-hmm. I like it. About a week or two after I started regularly making myself lucid dream, my mind began to unwillingly go to dark places while I was in lucid dreams. After the first time this happened with fearful results, I could no longer stop it from happening. The simple reason for this is that I would go to sleep afraid that I might have more lucid nightmares, and this very fear planted all the seed thoughts needed to make the experience repeat itself. What is more, I was unable to stop lucid dreaming. I no longer had to try to lucid dream or practice any techniques to make it happen. It happened naturally, although I no longer wanted it to. I would fall asleep, begin to dream, and immediately know that I was dreaming. Everything would go fine for a while, then something would happen. The sky would turn red, and Christ was returning to condemn me to hell eternally for my sins. Demons appeared at my back in close pursuit. Terrified, I would wake up in my bedroom in a cold sweat. Then I'd feel relieved it was only a dream. This time, I would think, I'm sure that I'm awake. But then my bedroom window would smash inward, sending in a rain of shattering glass. Someone was coming in through the window with a long knife. He'd wasted no time in rushing over to where I was lying, paralyzed, helpless. As I'd begin to feel the very real pain of him stabbing me over and over, I would scream and try to shake free. I'd close my eyes tightly. Then I would wake up. Or so I thought, but it would only be the beginning of another scary lucid experience. This would happen over and over again, lasting all night. So there, kiddies, is where we're talking about. You have to be careful.
So they knew they were dreaming.
Yes,
but they couldn't control anything in the dream.
So what ended up happening is because they reached a point where they would just lucid dream without trying. And it was just a dream in a dream in a dream in a dream. A continuous flow.
I got it.
Mm-hmm. You got to be careful. Ugh. Creepy.
That is creepy.
Mm-hmm. Night one. It started out normal enough. I was walking through the desert and out of nowhere, my mother showed up, desperate to tell me something. I listened and she begged me to wake up. This is a dream. Please open your eyes and wake up. So I did. I was confused when I actually woke up and went back to sleep. Don't remember other dreams that night. Night two, same premise. I was walking through the desert, but no mother to be seen. I then remember what she told me. If you're in a dream desert, wake up. I opened my eyes and woke up in a medieval prison guarded by some sort of monsters. Naturally, I was scared, but the people in that prison were terrified, telling me this wasn't supposed to happen and that I should please go back to sleep and wake up in my room. It took a while for me to get to sleep, being in a prison and all. And the longer it took, the more terrified they became. Eventually, I went to sleep and woke up in my room, but I still wonder if that dream was trying to tell me something. Interesting.
Yeah, that's a little creepy, too.
Mm-hmm. When your mother is telling you something, listen. My first controlled dream I can clearly recall was when I was 5 or 6. I used to dream that I was flying around the earth in a rocket I had made from a garbage can. The bottom was glass and I had a lovely aerial view of the world as I flew wherever I wanted. When it was time to land, my rocket was not equipped for landing. During the descent, I would tell myself, time to wake up, and I'd wake myself up. Though sometimes I would get perilously close to the ground, I was never afraid of the inevitable crash because I knew I was dreaming and could wake myself up at any time. I had a lot of enjoyment from this dream for about 6 months.
Oh, wow.
I know. That sounds like fun. Fly around in a rocket.
Yeah.
That's a trash can.
Right?
Because why not?
Yeah.
You have any stories?
Yeah. Well, I've got another one from the same researcher, Beverly Durso. And she was talking about, you know, playing around in a lucid dream. And this one happened at a campsite. So she knew she was dreaming. So she thought she might as well just jump
in. Sandy just scared the ever-loving hell out of me. Great day. It's okay, guys. So it is dark as hell in this room. There was lightning and thunder earlier, and we haven't turned the light on. We had the door partially closed because, you know, trying to keep sound out. And great day.
So Sandy Cat's been sick.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been in hiding, but he's obviously feeling better because he snuck into the room and just scared the crap out of Chantel. Good job, buddy.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. All right. As you were. Sorry.
Okay. So campfire. She knew she was dreaming. So she thought she might as well jump into the campfire. She didn't get burned. She was playing with the flames and then decided, I'm going to eat them.
Well, good for her.
Yeah. So she decided to eat the flames and put them in her mouth and then had the sensation that they were salty.
Salty flames?
Salty flames.
Okay.
Oh, gosh. So she knew she was already pushing a limit, so she decided to fly to the sun. She started to fly in like a Superman style, faster and faster, and getting exponentially faster. As she got closer and closer to the sun, she couldn't see anything. So she couldn't feel her body, but noticed the sense of vibration and the sound and the light. So there was a lot of light coming from the sun, and she just stayed in this state, and which she said she really couldn't describe everything she was feeling. But the phenomenon was lucid dreaming, and it was just one of, I think, her most fun experiences.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, that is our episode on lucid dreaming. We hope you guys enjoyed it as much as we did. Thank you so much for joining us for another Can't Miss episode and tuning in week after week. We love you guys so, so much. Please don't forget to hang with me on Twitter and Snapchat at Media Matters and on Instagram and Facebook at The Media Matters, where I will show you even more love. And don't forget, your ghost stories are now and forever wanted. Send your ghost stories to themediamatters@gmail.com or via DM on one of the show's social media pages, and I will personally reply. Triple promise. If you're liking the show, please make sure that you subscribe, rate, and review. Your ratings and reviews help support the show and makes it easier for others to find us. With that, you guys, that is a wrap. We're back next week with an all-new episode of The Media Matters. Same bat time, same bat channel. And until then, may your days be supernatural and extraordinary. Good night, you guys.
Good night.